הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello, everybody. This is the Hopalong Judge Eve. Anybody who remember Hopalong Cassidy show will know what I'm talking about. I broke my ankle almost 2 weeks ago, so thank God for technology. And that was me singing, wishing you all to be very happy, because this is what this show is about, as well as being for God. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you, and we thank you that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. I am blessed today to have Tina Meyer. She's a minister, Assemblies of God minister from New Orleans. She is a writer and editor. Her book that she's just come out with is called Finding Faith in the City, Care for God, which we'll have her tell us how she found it and where it can be obtained. She's a freelance writer and editor. She contributes to NOLA.com. She has all kinds of websites, which I'll have Tina tell us. I mess it up, and she knows what we should have. She's been married for 27 years. She lives on the West Bank of New Orleans, has two sons and a daughter-in-law, and three grandchildren. And I must say, Tina, you look gorgeous in your picture. I wouldn't think you were a grandma. But
that was good photography.
Well, God's women are beautiful. You know, Esther was the most beautiful in the land, right? And that's how the Persian king selected her. And Tina is also editor and freelance writer, and she writes for the NOLA, N-O-L-A, I take it it's New Orleans, Louisiana.com, Faith and Belief and Spirituality blog, and she's a contributor to Faith Walk magazine, member of the Southern Christian Writers Guild, and the North Shore Literary Society. And she's also a certified belief therapist. I think I'm stating the right name, so I'll have Tina clarify that all for us.
Well, I'm exhausted just listening to all that.
That's right. Try to keep it short. So, Tina, how long have you lived in New Orleans altogether?
Oh, we moved down here in the 1970s. So I've been here a good while, long enough to be a native, I would think.
Yes, and I told people. Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's more than 40 years now. Jeez,
wow.
Probably close to 50 years.
So you must be 21 like I am, right?
Yeah.
In Israel, we do things very fast. I always tell people I was born at minus 20.
Minus 20?
Why not, right?
Sure.
But, you know, what I told people also, and we'll get back to it in a minute, but you had been there through both Katrina and the most recent Isaac. And, in fact,
yes.
You lost all your electricity this last time, right?
Yes, I did, yes. In Isaac, in fact, we fared better in Katrina than we did Isaac.
No kidding. And they said it was a slower or what, not as powerful a storm. But is it the flooding that created a problem, or do you know?
Well, the winds, really, that it was a slow-moving storm, and the winds is really what created the biggest problem, because the winds knocked down a whole bunch of light poles.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
It was, you know, then it was just a quite a job to get them all back up.
Wow.
So that's why we were without power in Isaac, and we spent about 3 days, and then a kind neighbor loaned us a generator, and now generator's on my list for purchases.
And you know, in fact, because I've been through the Northridge earthquake in Jerusalem, we lived through war, you know, so I tell people, be prepared also for what's coming. You know, as a prophet, I know what's coming in the United States, so it's good to have a generator. It's good to have purification methods for water, right? First aid things and extra food. May I ask you where you came from to New Orleans and why you went to New Orleans when you did?
Well, Maya, when the first 13 years, my dad was in the military, and we moved around a lot.
Oh.
They're from this area, But then the military had sent him to Germany, where we lived for 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, and then on a army bases in Germany.
Yes.
And then we came back to America. He was stationed in Fort Knox, Kentucky. I used to pass the Fort Knox, the Gold Vault, on my way to school every morning.
Wow. You know, nothing is by accident. You know that,
yeah,
right?
And my dad retired when from the military when we were living in Fort Knox, and he decided just to come back home. He's not from New Orleans proper. He's more from the Cajun country down around Lafayette, New Iberia, and Kaplan. But he found a job in New Orleans. So to him, this was coming home, and that's how we ended up back here.
Wow. Before I forget, I'd like to tell people they may call in either at 1-800-627-6008 if you have any questions to Tina or requests for prayer, or at 1-530-327-7602. But Tina, my main interest, and I think for you too, is how did you come to find Jesus in your life, and how did you become an Assemblies of God minister and then the counselor?
Okay. Actually, you know, when we came back to America, I think God just has your whole life, that he has it planned, you
Amen.
Know. Maybe not the minutia, but, you know, he knows where he wants to bring you. And when we came back from Germany and ended up in America, my dad retired, and I was used to the clean, modern schools that the Army maintained at the time. This was, you know, back in the 60s. And when he retired from the military, I ended up in a school that looked like it should have been condemned. I mean, and I was not happy to be there. The buildings were run down, and in fact, I remember having a class one day in a school in a building, and on the front it said condemned. You know,
in America, this happened.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And but you know, I mean, we were just in there one day, but I don't know why they ever let us go in there. But anyhow, to get to the point of that is, you know, my dad being a military man, and I'm not saying all military men are like this, but, you know, he was a drinker, and he was a womanizer, and we had a kind of a dysfunctional family. And so I sought refuge in the public library and the school, actually the school library at this time, at that school that I didn't want to go to because it was so run down.
Wow.
And while I was reading, what I had purpose to do, because I was just very introverted, and what I had purposed to do is, well, I was just going to read every book in the library. That was my goal. You know,
How old were you, if I may ask?
Probably about 11.
Wow.
11,
God sure
11,
had
12.
His hand on you. Wow.
Yeah.
Like little King David, you know?
Well, while I was trying to fulfill this goal of reading every book in the library, I came across a book, and it's not a book I would have normally read.
Yes.
But it was called The Cross and the Switchblade.
That's Nikki Cruz. Are you giving me goosebumps? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead. And that's
so I brought the book home, and I read it, and I remember thinking, you know, there was just something different about this book, and I didn't know what. I didn't have a clue. In the first place, I thought I was reading fiction. It never dawned on me that I was reading a true story, even though it says in there it's a true story. I'm 11, 12 years old, and I'm accustomed to reading, you know, about talking pigs and things like that, you know, the barnyard with all the talking pigs. So I remember I read it again.
Wow.
And then I didn't want to let go of that book, but it was a library book. I had to bring it back. So eventually I brought it back after I read it twice and just said it, you know, forgot about it. Well, kind of, maybe not, because I think it was all in God's plan, because not long after I read that book, my dad decided that, after he had retired, he had tried to start his own business, and he didn't have the financial backing. So he took a job in New Orleans.
Yes.
And when we came to New Orleans, my parents enrolled me in the school down here, and I'm walking down the hall, And the first thing I see hanging a poster on the wall was David Wilkerson was going to be in the Rivergate.
May I just say, I have to say something about this book, which touched me so much. Mm-hmm. He tried to get Nikki Cruz, who was a gang member with a knife and everything, and he said to Nikki, even if you cut me to 1,000 pieces, mm-hmm. each piece will still say, I love you, I mm-hmm. love you, I love mm-hmm. you. Go ahead, please. I had to interject this.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
So I ran home, you know, after I saw this, and I thought, I recognized the name, David Wilkerson,
yes.
because I'd read the book.
Right.
And I was, that book just, there was just something about that book.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home and asked my mother, you know, well, will you bring me to this? And I'm trying to explain it to her.
Yes.
And she asked me, well, what is it? And I didn't know what to tell her. You know, I just said. I said, well, he's an author, and he wrote a book. And she thought about that, and she said, oh, you'll just be bored. And she refused to bring me.
Was she a reader, your mother or your father? I mean, your love for
Not really. They weren't really readers. Everybody in my family now is, but no, my parents weren't. They were, you know, they had a lot of problems. You know, with the alcoholism and things like that. So, you know, they did the best they could under the circumstances.
Right.
But anyhow, she didn't want to bring me. And if she had, she would have saved herself a lot of heartache. Because after she refused to bring me, that's when I got involved in the local drug culture in New Orleans.
You're kidding. Almost like God said, let you go through what Nikki Cruz went through, isn't it?
Well, you know, but the thing of it is, Eve, is that God set me up for salvation before I even got into something I needed to be delivered for.
Of course. But the reason
now, isn't that just like God?
Oh, exactly. You know, mm-hmm. but he lets us go through things because you really cannot minister to anybody else unless you know what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, mm-hmm. please. I'm sorry.
Well, I was involved, not too long. I mean, I was pretty young, though. I mean, 13,
wow.
from about 13 to 15,
yeah.
We were, you know, there's a lot of pot smoking, and it had gotten to the point where, you know, I had a boyfriend who was a drug dealer, and he wanted me to do the harder stuff.
Oh, my.
And frankly, I was scared, you know. Yeah. I didn't want a needle in my arm.
Good.
But at the same time, you have the peer pressure, and, you know, you want to belong and fit in.
Right.
So I was at a rock concert one night. There was this place out on 4th Street, not far from where I lived, and their band played there every Friday night. And so I went there, and they had some harder things. I think LSD was popular at the time and mescaline.
Yes.
And I had been offered some. And, of course, you know, to fit in, I didn't want to take it, but I did. And I went into the concert,
yes.
and the band was playing Jesus Is Just All Right by the Doobie Brothers.
You kidding? Boy, did God
kidding.
Set you up. I call him the master setup.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm listening to this song, and I'm standing by the speaker, and it's just pulsating in my ear.
Wow.
And you know, and I just prayed, you know, and I said, you know, God, I can't stop. I want to stop. Please help me.
Just like that?
Mm-hmm.
Just, adverse effects from the LSD? People need to know what this drug does to people.
Well, you know, I didn't take it long enough for it to have that. You know, I mean, I only took drugs for about 2 years, and the harder stuff didn't come in until right at the end of that. And
praise God.
And that's when I was getting sucked into the harder things is when I wanted out.
And
I just couldn't
God
get out.
And God wanted you out, too, you know, enough
yeah.
is enough.
Yeah.
So go ahead, please. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, that's all right. Well, after I prayed that, this friend of mine, her name was Tina. We both had the name Tina.
Spelled
and,
the same
you,
way? You were,
huh? No, because her name was T-I-N-A, and my name was T-E-E-N-A.
Right.
But and she was blonde, and I was brunette, and she was thin, and I was a little heavier. I wouldn't say fat, but, you know, she was really thin. And, you know, but
you
we both had the same name,
yeah.
and her mother, one day I went by her house, and her face was just glowing, and she said, she invited me to go to a Jesus rally.
Wow.
And, well, I didn't know what a Jesus rally was. And I really didn't care because she immediately, to hook me in, she said, there's a lot of good-looking guys there, you know.
Isn't that like God? Whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, whatever it takes, you know. So, like, Jesus, like, what's that? I latched onto the good-looking guys, and I said, well, sure, let's go, you know.
Have you noticed that when we do things on our own, we have one purpose in mind, and God has his purpose in mind?
Yeah, absolutely. And God had a different purpose from mine, I guarantee you.
Well, he's the best-looking guy, though.
Yeah, he is. I did meet a good-looking guy that night. I will tell you that. So we go. What happened was this was a little place in Old Algiers, which is on the west bank of New Orleans. Cuts through. Go ahead.
What is the river? Porchentain? I don't know the name of the river that you're referring
to. The Mississippi River.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
the Mississippi River cuts right through New Orleans, and then you have New Orleans where the French Quarter area is. And then across the river, there's a little area called Algiers that is also included in New Orleans proper. So it was an old house in Old Algiers.
Yes.
And her mother picked us up and to bring us to the rally, and she dropped us off in front of this, the House of Living Waters. That's what it said on
goodness.
The front.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
She drops us off, and she leaves.
Yes.
So I'm stuck, you know. There's no leaving until Mama comes back, you know.
Like Jonah, huh?
So I walk into the rally, and of course rally gives you an image of a big group of people, where the rally was me and my friend.
Oh my, really? Wow.
Really. And so there were some chairs set out, and we sat down, and a few minutes later, two young girls wandered in off the street. They must have been elementary age, and they came and sat with us, so that was the rally.
But that's
and I'm looking around. I'm looking around, listen, where's the good-looking guys, you know? It's just
so
me
funny.
And you know God has a sense of humor, okay?
Oh, I know. He laughs. You know, that's why people don't realize we're made in his image. What we do is what he does, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, when the service started, finally, two guys walked in, and they were looked in their 20s, and they were not bad looking, you know?
Yes.
So one of the men, and this is really interesting, which I need to come back to later in the story, but the man who stood in the pulpit to preach, he was a young man, looked in his 20s, and he had a beard. And that's all I ever remembered about him. I never knew his name.
How funny, yes.
But after he taught, we were invited to give our lives to Jesus. Now, his sermon that day was, you need to be ready because Jesus is coming back.
Wow.
So at the end of the message, he, you know, gave the invitation, you know, if you're not ready, then we invite you to stay and to pray. Well, the other gentleman that had came in with him, he must have been the prayer warrior that worked with him, and we went upstairs to another room, and he prayed with me and with Tina. Well, Tina had already prayed, the other Tina, not me.
Yes.
And she had already prayed, and so he prayed with me, and I was not expecting anything to happen. I mean, I'm just clueless. I was raised in a Catholic church, and all this kind of stuff I had never seen or been exposed to before, you know?
I know.
So he says, okay, pray. He led me in a prayer for that God would forgive my sins. And when I prayed that prayer, it felt like a joy just exploded in me.
Wow.
You know, it's hard to describe. And I was so taken aback by it, I'm like, I didn't really grasp what was going on, and nothing like that had ever happened to me before. But it was so real. I mean, I wouldn't have told you at the time it was God, but it was just God's presence was so real, and that joy was so real.
If I may stop you for a moment, I have to go to a commercial. So everybody stay tuned to find how to be joyful.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on bbsradio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of Sovereign Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you. Hello, everybody. Again, we're here with the wonderful Tina Myers, an Assemblies of God minister and counselor, and her book, Finding Faith in the City, Care for God. And Tina will tell us her story, and then she'll tell us where we can get her book. Please go ahead. Tell us about the joy, Tina.
Okay. Well, after I had that experience and was just shocked by it, but I never said anything to them or told them what happened. In fact, they probably thought when I walked out of there that nothing happened.
Wow.
Okay, because I didn't cry or anything. It was just something that happened inside me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And so I went home, and since my parents were not Christians, there's no way they were going to bring us back. It was really, it was like, you know, 10, 15 miles from the house, and there's no way they were going to bring me back. And,
right.
You know, in fact, they had told me when I had prayed and for salvation, it was getting kind of late, and they had made me call home to tell my mother what had happened.
Yes.
And apparently I woke her up.
Oh,
and
no.
And told her, well, Mom, I got saved. And she said, well, that's nice. When are you going to be home? So, you know, that they were not all that interested in all this, you know.
It's
just get home, you know.
Just
so I came
another
home.
One of those days, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So
please.
I came home without really knowing what had happened to me.
Yeah.
But there was, you know, if there's no one else to do it, God will do it.
Exactly.
Since I couldn't go back to the House of Living Waters.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what had happened to me. And, you know, and I was having this struggle with drugs and some, you know, the dysfunction in the family.
But still you were taking drugs even after that experience?
For a short time.
Yes.
Okay. I'll explain to you what happened.
Okay.
From that point on, there was this presence. I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't something you see. At times it was almost tangible, like you could feel.
Yes.
But, you know, when I would cry and get frustrated because I wanted to stop taking drugs and I couldn't, this presence, this God would just fill me, and he would just make me laugh, and I would stop crying, and
you're
I would know somehow everything's going to be okay.
You see,
you know?
Was Jesus manifesting to you, you know?
He was comforting
yes.
me. There
yes.
wasn't anybody else to do it, so he did it himself, you know?
Yes.
Because really, you know, I believe God works through the church, and if I had been in a church, I'm not so sure that would have happened, because he probably would have used a minister. But I was alone, and I didn't know what happened.
That was to be your experience, and to show people that even if they're anti-Christian environment or country, God can find a way to reach them. And that's
yes, he can.
Go
absolutely,
ahead,
absolutely.
Yes.
So, you know, for about 6 months or so, I used to walk, you know, I'm of course I'm having this struggle. I'm trying to stop.
Yeah.
And I used to walk right behind my house. Well, we lived in a trailer park, and if I walked to the end of the trailer park, there was a paved road back there. And
yeah.
If I took a right about one block, there was a church there, an Assembly of God church. Like, God didn't have all this arranged, okay?
That's what I'm thinking.
So I used to walk, you know, yeah. to the end of the trailer park, and I'd walk up and down this road in front of that church.
Wow.
Praying.
Wow. Yes.
You know, God, there's got to be people somewhere who's had the same experience I have.
And they're right there.
But it never crossed my mind, because I've never been in anything but a Catholic church, you know.
Right,
but
right.
I'm walking up and down the street, and I'm praying this off and on for, it
yes.
must have been about 6 months or so.
Wow.
And finally one day, I was riding bikes down that road with a friend, and she
yes.
said, We rode in front of that church, and she said, Tina, do you want to go to church Sunday? And I'm like, sure, why not? Well, Sunday,
yes.
we go to that church.
Wow.
And the moment I walked in the door,
yes.
I knew. Nobody had to tell me.
Yes.
I just knew. In fact, they were having a testimony service at the time where people were standing up and saying, you know, what happened in your life. And
yeah.
I walked in that church in the middle of the testimony service, and somebody had stood up and said something. So I stood up and I told them, well, I've been looking for people like me,
wow.
and here you
wow.
are, you know.
Wow.
And I was, geez,
wow.
maybe 14. No, I know, must have been 16 at the time that
wow.
that happened.
You know, and
mm-hmm. I just
mm-hmm.
knew they
mm-hmm.
had the same experience with God that I did, and
wow.
this is where I belong. And mm-hmm. honestly, that the experience where God would comfort me, His Spirit would comfort me,
yeah.
once I started attending the church and I was with other Christians, that experience stopped.
Because now you had the external support.
Exactly.
You need to have it. Isn't that, you know, do you realize how I don't know how to say, how deep that message is?
Mm-hmm.
That no matter, every hair in our head is counted, every
mm-hmm.
situation in our life is covered, and
mm-hmm.
God knows how to handle it, no matter where we are.
Absolutely.
And that, did you feel, though, that, excuse me, that you were now with people who were really part of your family because of being
oh,
sick?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, they took me in. The pastor and his wife, they practically treated me like one of their own children.
Oh.
I mean, anytime a visiting evangelist or missionary would come in, they'd go out to eat, they'd bring me.
Oh, Tina, he gave you a family.
He did.
Which was in good shape, you know?
Yes, yes.
Is that what caused you to become a minister of the Assembly of God later on, or?
Well, I was... At that, well, when I graduated from high school, I was 16 when I started attending that church.
Wow.
And when I graduated from high school,
mm-hmm.
it was like 3 days after
yes.
I graduated from high school. I was in my room and I was praying because, of course, you know, you're out of high school. What do you do next? and I heard
yes.
just as clear as though someone was standing in the room.
Yes.
I heard. Go in the neighborhood and tell people about me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And, you know, you never forget those words, right? Every word
no.
etched in your being forever.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, the problem was I didn't really know a lot about God at that time, you know? And it never occurred to me that,
yes.
okay, I need to go to you know, Bible college and prepare
yes.
and because I'm called to ministry. Well, I didn't know anything about all of that, you know. And so it was kind of like God said,
yes.
go, jump, and I said, how high, and out the door I went, you know.
And you see your immediate obedience to Him. That's the most important thing, isn't it? You know,
well, yeah, yes, but, you know, I don't think I had a lot of wisdom. You know?
Well, he does say if we ask him, he give it liberally.
Well, I wasn't even smart enough to ask. You know? It was just God spoke, here I go. And, you know,
yes.
if I had what I really, and I know in retrospect,
yes.
of course it's too late now, but, you know, I should have gone to the pastor and said, well, God spoke to me, and this is what he said, and then he would have given me direction. He probably would have told me to go to Bible college, you know.
Right, but you know what? God didn't want you to do the normal stuff.
Well, apparently not, but anyhow, the experience ended in somewhat of a disaster, you know, and I backslid.
Well, but for a reason, you know, because now you know when other people backslid what it feels like and how you can return back to him. You know, Tina, let me just repeat again about your book and where I think people can get it so you can tell them as well.
Okay.
It's called Finding Faith in the City Care for God, which, of course, is New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And what I do have for you is your website, I think, http://nows
It doesn't matter. You can put them in or not.
And it's Tina Myers, T like Tom, two double E's like elephant. I shouldn't have said it. I have an elephant leg now. N like Nancy, A for apple, Myers, M like
okay,
Mary.
L Myers.
Oh,
it's Tina L Myers.
Okay,
yes.
Is it a dot or just the initial L?
No, it's just the initial L. It's like all one word, Tina L Myers, TENALMYERS.com.
And that's where they can get the book.
Yes, if they go to that site at the very top of on the front page that it comes to, there'll be a link at the top saying where you can purchase the book, and that'll bring them to the publisher's website where they can purchase the book directly from the publisher.
Perfect, perfect. So go ahead, please. So now you're backslidden, and what happened then?
Well, when I was, you know, I didn't, you know, it was kind of that thing where you didn't really want to be backslidden, but you just didn't know what to do, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, and I had read in Revelations that God would rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, he would just as soon spit you out his mouth.
Right.
So I knew I wasn't hot, and I felt like, well, then I'm going to have to be cold. So I quit going to church.
You mean you made that decision consciously?
I did make that decision. Yes.
Wow.
I consciously made that decision.
Wow.
I just didn't know how to be hot, you know, things because of a lack of wisdom and, you know, just I had no real guidance from my parents. And
no model, no example, right?
Yeah. So, and I just didn't know what I was doing. But
So
I made the conscious decision that, well, if I can't be what I thought God needed me to be, and I was probably harder on myself than he would have been, but in my mind, I wasn't what God wanted me to be, and I didn't know how to get there. So I said, I'm not going to be lukewarm, and I said, well, then I'm just going to be cold.
Had you read the book of Revelation at that point?
Yeah, I had. I had. I had read that in Revelations, and that's what really helped me make the decision of what to do.
Wow.
So because I wanted to be honest with God. I didn't want to play a game, you know.
Yes.
And he honored that because I moved out of the house with two other girls. We got an apartment, and you know I was gonna live the wild life, you know.
You mean?
And we ended up.
Yeah,
I'm
wanted to at that point.
Well, yeah, I figured, you know, I'm backslid.
Yeah.
We're just gonna, you know, I had gone back to drinking and things, and decided, I'm just going to go live the wild life. And we really lived like three little old ladies. I mean, we didn't live very wild at all. We didn't have any money to live wild, you know.
No, isn't that funny? Even that God knew would happen, so he stopped you, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Well, I was in this apartment, I mean, God just honored that I was honest, you know.
Yeah.
While I was in this apartment, one day I was there alone. The other girls were gone, and I was standing on the balcony. It's just blue skies, fluffy white clouds, and I hear thunder.
Wow.
So I'm looking around to see where this thunder's coming from, because there's not a dark cloud in the sky, you know.
Wow.
But to me, it sounded like, I don't know how to describe it. It's hard to describe spiritual experiences.
Yes.
It sounded like thunder.
Yes.
And in my name, it was like my name was in that thunder.
I know. You heard the
like
voice of God. You know,
being
how
called.
Like, wow.
Yeah. You know, I mean, God, if no one else will go looking for his lost sheep, God will go looking for you.
You know? You should make those statements. You know, have a book about these comments that you have. Have you thought about that?
No, I haven't thought about that. That might be a future book.
Yeah, like a daily reading. I love that.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Go ahead, please. Yes.
Okay. So after that experience on the balcony, I started reading the Bible again, and I started talking to God again.
Oh, wow.
And then I eventually moved back home, and not knowing what to do. I moved back home thinking that I had joined the Air Force. I had done everything.
Really?
Yes. I had joined the Air Force. I had, you know, done the physical, and I was in. I even swore the oath of office. But this is back in the 70s, and I was a woman, and they were in no big hurry to get me out there. I was on a delayed enlistment plan.
Wow.
So I had moved back home thinking I would be leaving for the Air Force in about three months.
Yes.
Well, I'm at work one day, and the Air Force recruiter calls me, and he says, "You don't want to go in the Air Force." And I was shocked. You know?
I'm willing to give your life, right? And look at that.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't know what to say. I was just, because I was already in the Air Force. And he said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." And he hung up.
Oh my
And I'm
God.
Like, what was that all about? And I just blew it off. And so I just went back to work.
Wow.
And a couple hours later, I get a phone call, and he says, "You're out. Don't worry about leaving."
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. That was, in fact, I still have a honorable discharge from the Air Force, and I never left. You know?
That is so funny. Well, you know God was in it.
Well, God just didn't want me to leave New Orleans. See, I wanted to leave New Orleans so I could leave God and all of this behind me. And God, I think God knew that. I was just trying to put all that behind me and forget about it, and I was just going to go on with my life. And couldn't even leave New Orleans, and I'm in the Air Force. You know?
You know what I love? You know, when people say, "I have free choice," you know, and they
have
free choice. Really, now, there's one choice, either follow God or not follow God. Yes. Unbelievable.
So,
really miraculous, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, if there's nobody else to do it, God will do it. So I'm out of the Air Force.
Another one of your sayings should go in your book.
Okay. So I'm out of the Air Force, and and my lease was coming up on the apartment, and I'd already told my parents I'm moving back home, so I just moved back home.
Yeah.
And didn't know what to do with myself. And so one morning I was out washing the car.
Yeah.
Oh, and again, I was, just being honest with God and telling him, "Look, I don't know how to change my life. I don't know how to stop drinking. I don't know what to do here, you know."
Yeah.
And, and in fact, I had started attending church sporadically, but
the same one, the Assembly of God.
Yeah, the same one that was behind my house. Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, and I just told him, I said, you know, I'm going to go to church, but the rest of the week I'm just going to live however I'm going to live because I just don't know how to change. You know. And I heard. Just as clear, like when I got out of high school, I heard again, just as clear, go to church.
Oh,
and
that's
all I heard was go to church.
Wow.
So I get up Sunday morning, because this was Saturday, and I get dressed. And in my mind, I'm going to that church by the trailer park where I had walked in a few years earlier, in my mind, which was 5 minutes away.
Wow.
So I get in my car, and by this time, we had moved to another part of town, which was still about 5 minutes from the church. I couldn't walk to the church, but it wasn't far.
Yes.
So I get in my car, and I'm driving to this church, at least I think I am, but instead I start going a different direction.
Without realizing it, or did you know?
It's hard to say. I knew I wasn't going where I wanted to go, but I'm just driving, and I drive to this church in downtown New Orleans.
Wow.
First Assembly of God. Pastor Marvin Gorman was the pastor there.
Disturb you? We'll make it to be continued. We have another commercial pause.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
We'll be back. Don't go away. I can't wait to hear what happened.
Okay.
Hello. This is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlight. I'm a retired judge, and I'm glad to be on bbsradio.com station 1 on alternate Saturday, and my website, where you can also get my book, Diary of a Sabra Faith in Action, is an ebook. The website is www.90210holocaust.com. com, and I also will do counseling, whether spiritually or general legal questions such as unemployment, divorce, other questions with which so many people are faced today. And the way to contact me for that would be at my email, which is eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J-U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing you, and rather from you, and to be able to be of help. Thank you.
Hello again, everybody. We cannot stop laughing. So, Tina, go ahead, please. So what happened to Pastor Gorman's church that day?
Okay. Well, I found myself sitting in the parking lot, and I look at this church, and I think, what am I doing here? You know, in my mind, I was going to this other church, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, well, okay, by the time I drove back to the church I was going to, service would be over, because this is like 30 minutes away.
Did you feel like you were sort of constrained to go to that other church?
No. Yeah, I think God knew exactly what he was doing. So yes. I get out of my car, and I said, well, I'm here, it's a church, I'll just go to church here today. Mm-hmm. And the minute I walked in the door, I knew that I belonged there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And while I was there, you know, this pastor, he was very gifted in the gifts of the Spirit, and
yes.
He had prayed for me. In fact, he had called me out of the audience one time, and he just knew more about me than I knew about myself, you know,
Amen.
And prayed
Amen.
For me and prayed
yes.
that God would heal, because
yes.
I had a lot of hurts from things that went on
yes.
when I tried to obey God, not knowing what I was doing. And he just prayed, and
yeah.
as I sat in that service week after week, God just began to heal my life.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then God gave me a husband, a wonderful man.
At the same church?
Yeah, while we were at that church, he gave
wow.
me a husband, just
yeah.
a wonderful man, and
he's
in children's ministry. He's been he was in children's ministry before I met him, and he's still in children's ministry.
Wow. Isn't
he's
that
just,
wonderful?
He
yes.
is just gifted. He is comfortable
yes.
working with children, and he's good
yes.
at it.
And they love him. I can see that.
Oh, they
yeah.
do.
No,
yeah.
yeah,
absolutely. He's greatly loved. But
yes.
So I married, and I knew that from when I got out of high school that I was supposed to tell people about God.
Wow.
And I think during that time, you know, I've always had this really hunger, this insatiable thirst to understand
yes.
the Bible.
What, even and, you mean from the time you started reading at age 11, or from the time you?
Well, at 15, really, is when I started
yeah.
reading the Bible.
Yes.
And I wanted to understand it. I wanted to understand faith, and
yes.
and so I did. While you know, while I was married, I really wasn't doing anything in ministry. Well, I was helping my husband in children's ministry, which I did for many, many years.
Yes.
And I would pray, and I would read the Bible, and I would be so frustrated because I wanted
Why?
To understand what I was reading.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, you know the simple things. God loves you. And,
yes.
and but, you know, I'm the kind of person, I'm full of questions, and there were a lot yes. of questions that I needed answered. And, you know, I just prayed
yes.
and prayed and prayed and sought God, like it says in Proverbs. I just tried to seek him with all of my heart.
My heart, exactly.
And then mm-hmm. yeah, and then one day I was sitting in service, and the pastor was praying for people, and I was watching him pray for people.
Yeah.
And he walked by me, and then he kind of jumped, and he turned around, and he walked back to me, and he picked up my hand. And he
yes.
prayed, God, give her what she has looked for these oh. many, many years.
Oh.
And he didn't know that
yes.
I had spent many, many years looking for anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And by that time, I had been just really diligently searching the Bible and questioning God to understand faith and
yes.
For maybe 10 years.
Wow.
When that pastor prayed that prayer. And it wasn't
yes.
any big to-do or anything. He just prayed a simple prayer, put my hand back in my lap, and he went and preached a sermon.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you would have thought I would have ran home, and all of a sudden the Bible was just complete, you know. I just understood.
But you know what that is? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think this all leads up to the book that I have written now, Finding Faith in the City Care for God, because about 15 years after that, the pastor prayed that prayer, many years went by, and almost 20 years to the day that God spoke to me to tell people about him, that was in May 1975. In May 1995, the pastor invited me to teach a Bible study.
Now, he I'm a prophet, and he was a prophet. You know that.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I had told him, you know, I had actually I had talked to him and the pastor before him. This is a different church now. This is not that Brother Gorman's church. This is many years later. And I had told him, because I had struggled with that calling, and I knew I wasn't doing what God told me to do, tell people about him. So after talking
Tina,
to him,
if I may interject, you didn't just want to talk about him. You wanted to know why you were talking about him.
Exactly.
And to have people understand who he's all about, you know?
Well, yeah, you're right, because my experience in 1975, where I'm out there trying to tell people about him, I really didn't know anything about him, you know?
Because you like to know things in depth, which is what God wants us to do, you know? Go ahead.
So anyhow, he puts me in a Sunday school class, and in an adult Sunday school class. I had been working with children with my husband for many years.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eve, there's just no way to tell you. My God, as I was giving to others, God was giving to me. And during those 5 years that I taught, many, as I would write Sundays, because I started out, they would give me a book to teach, and I would just do the best I could with it. And then finally they asked me, well, what do you want to teach next? And I said, can I just teach the Bible?
I love it.
They said, okay, we'll just teach the Bible. So
The books they gave you were non-biblical books? Is that
They were biblical books, but, you know, it was God had given somebody else, and I was just rehashing it. And what I really wanted to do was just take the Bible and glean from it for myself. And so they gave me permission to do that.
In a church, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
So once I was given the liberty to just really just take the word of God and seek God, that is when things started opening up and understanding a little here and a little there. It's not something that came quickly. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I had some immediate divine revelation and everything was clear. It didn't happen like that. It was many years of studying.
But you know why, Tina? Because then you could not give the details to other people.
But
you're getting it in detail. You're able to, you know, absorb it and then give it out again that way.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I thought, well, you know, God's called me to be a teacher here. And, you know, I loved it. I loved preparing the messages. I would start Monday morning preparing for Sunday. And sometimes I would have something that I thought, well, okay, this is what we're going to, you know, study on Sunday. And then when I would sit down to prepare it, I would start, you know, typing out my notes. Something completely different would come out, and it was so much better than what I had, you know.
The revelation. I you know, that's how I used to minister. You know, isn't that wonderful when that happens?
Yeah,
and people needed to hear it at that point,
absolutely,
right?
Because God knows what they need a lot more than you do.
Exactly.
Well, while I'm teaching, and now we're going to get to the writing, while I'm teaching, a woman was in my class. Her name was Elise, and she was from Honduras.
Oh.
And she came in one day with a little cassette. Remember the cassettes?
I sure do. I do.
You know? I mean, some young people might not know what we're talking about, but those little cassettes you pop in.
Yeah.
Well, she came in with one of those cassettes and tape players, and she was going to tape me because she felt like Honduras needed me, and she was going to translate it into Spanish and put it on the radio in Honduras.
Wow.
Well, she didn't have the finances to do that. I mean, I was flattered and, you know, that I felt honored that she felt that way. But, I mean, she was a hairdresser by trade, a single mom and a hairdresser, and, you know, doing all that. It's a little expensive.
Yes.
And then she found out that it isn't so easy to translate one language to another.
You know? Now you put it on the computer and it's done, right?
Yeah. But back then we didn't have all that, okay?
I know, I know. And I sound like I'm an expert in computers. I am not. Go ahead, please.
Well, what I did was, you know, she finally kind of gave up on it because it just wasn't working, you know.
Yeah.
And so I felt bad, and so I said, well, look, you know, I said, let me just give you my notes, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I gave her my notes, which were mostly outlined at the time, but then other people wanted the notes.
Wow.
So I started writing more and more until I got to the place that I was writing everything that I said almost word for word. I would practically get up the next Sunday and just read it, and I would have it all written out.
Wow.
And that's really where I started writing.
Yes.
But I didn't know that it was God's plan or intent for me to be a writer by any means. And I will say that there are some people that I've met recently that tell me they still have copies of those lessons. And frankly, I wish they would burn them because my grammar was terrible.
But you know what? Get the papers and then correct them and give it out as a book.
I've got about five of those sitting in my closet right now, which may very well one day be a book. But I had to accept that God wanted me to write. And at that time, I wanted to teach. I didn't want to write. But that's really how I started writing.
Isn't he amazing, Tina? He will take us by the hand, and he will say, my child, you can do whatever you want, but I think this will be better for you.
Oh, absolutely.
And somehow we get to agree with that, don't we?
Well, you really don't have much choice.
Tell me
because
about it.
After 5 years, the door shut on teaching, and I had nothing to do. You know, during those 5 years, people had said to me a number of times, you know, you should be published, Tina. And I'm like, oh, get out of here. I'm going to get published, you know. I said, I'm smart enough to know my grammar's terrible, and I'm just writing these for you guys, you know. Well, when the door shut on teaching, and I mean, I'll be honest with you, Eve, I just went into a depression.
Oh, I understand that, believe me. Because, you know,
don't
you feel fulfilled when you're doing the work of God? With me, when I would do it, I didn't even want to eat, and that's a miracle.
Right. Because you had meat to eat they knew not of. That's why.
Amen.
That's what
Amen.
Ministry is like. It can be addictive.
Shouldn't we be more addicted to it? We'd lose
weight
in great health, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Tina, we only have a couple more minutes, so I wanted you again to repeat the name of your book and again where it can be obtained. And if people want you to come out and speak, you know, where they can contact you as well.
Okay. The name of the book is Finding Faith in the City, Care for God. And if you want to purchase a copy, you can go. Well, actually, you could go to any bookstore, and they should be able to order a copy. It's not on the shelves because I'm a new author, and it takes a while before bookstores will put them on the shelf. But you can go to a bookstore, and they should be able to. Or you can go to TinaLMyers.com, TeenaLMyers.com, and there is a link there where you can click on that, and it'll bring you to the publisher's website, and you can purchase the book from there.
And if people want you to speak, how can you?
And if people, if you, you can, it's easy. I keep everything Tina Myers. My email address that you can contact me if you'd like me to come and speak is tinamyers@ymail.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. But the letter
that's
Y,
Yahoo. It's Yahoo, but it just drops the. It just uses the Y.
Okay, I wondered what it was. You know, I thought maybe it was missing. You know,
but no, it's not new. It's Yahoo, but don't use Yahoo. Just use. It's kind of like Gmail,
that's
only it's Ymail.
And you
Ymail.
Know, truthfully, when I first saw it, I thought, gee, I wonder if she mistyped the G and put an H or right.
No, it's correct. It's Ymail. And, you know, I have my contact information on my website as well.
Great.
So, you know, you can contact me through there as well.
And we're almost finished for the day, but I wanted you to say, would you say that the joy of the Lord is your strength?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there any other final thought you would like to leave with the people?
I think the predominant theme is that you don't, if there's no one else for you, God is.
Amen.
If there's no one else to do what you need done, God loves you enough to do it.
Amen.
That you don't have to worry, you know, that and he will do it for as long as it needs to be done. I think it's his preference that we as a church gather together and comfort one another and encourage one another and teach one another. But if you don't have that support system right now, you can call on God, and he will, if he has to come and do it himself, he will.
Amen.
Because that is how I became a Christian. And it's what led me into writing. And, you know, God is there.
Yes.
And you can call on him, and
Amen.
He will hear you.
Amen.
And he will answer you, maybe not in the way you think or want, but he will answer, and he will come to your aid.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Tina, I am so blessed to have you. The Holy Spirit is just all over me. I thank you for your ministry. I thank you for sharing with us. And just God bless you and your family. And I hope to have you on again at the future show sometime, if it's okay with you.
Sure, that would be great.
Thank you so much. Everybody, please get the book. You need to hear how to know God and how to walk with him. And I think Tina told us that beautifully. And thank you, thank you, thank you again, Tina. Love to you. Love to everybody out there. Have a blessed weekend. And bye-bye now. And my song that goes out is, We Brought You Peace. We Brought You Hello. So enjoy that as well. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.